This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, February 3rd, 2012. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, Say It with a Poem. I love you. Yes, that phrase is overused to the point of banality, but it is still one of the most necessary expressions in the language. You simply can't get through life without deploying it. And it works hard for us. I love you. It's the password into sexual experience. I love you. It's the ritualized code of reassurance between married people. I love you. We say it. We mean it. But there's only so much feeling that three little words can carry. They're necessary, but not sufficient. Enter poetry. This is important because Valentine's Day is fast approaching, and we at the Poetry Foundation are concerned that you may not be prepared. You need to back up your I love yous with some linguistic muscle, with a poem that will bring some complexity and depth into your declaration. Joining me from the Poetry Foundation in Chicago is Kathy Halley, the web editor of poetryfoundation.org. Now, Kathy, there are thousands of poems on poetryfoundation.org. How are people going to find a love poem that would be appropriate for their particular situation?
There's a couple of different ways that you can do it. Mm-hmm. One way is to go to poetryfoundation.org/love poems, uh-huh. And that will give you a curated list of some poems that are good for Valentine's Day. And they're arranged by categories like romantic love poems, classic love poems, that kind of thing. That's helpful.
Uh-huh.
There's one other way that you could do it and find those kinds of categories with even more poems, and that would be to go to the poems and browse poems section of the site. And we have love poems for every situation.
Every situation.
Breakups, unrequited love, complicated love, messy love. There's a lot of poems that are classified as funny love poems because – and there's also really raunchy love poems on the site too. Poems that will make you blush. We have an article called Poems That Will Make You Blush.
All right. But let me ask you what may be a too personal question for our conversation. But have you yourself ever deployed poetry in a romantic adventure?
A romantic adventure. I'm not sure what you mean by romantic adventure, but
– Well, in a romantic relationship. Let's just put it that way.
I have. In fact, some of my favorite poems from the site I have found either in our poetry app, our mobile app.
Uh-huh.
I found them by accident, by shaking the phone and finding a category of, you know, within the love category, I found poems that I then sent to my current boyfriend via email.
And
so I guess that's a romantic adventure, isn't it?
Yes. Well, how did it go over?
Very well.
Yeah?
I think. One of them, he sort of thought I was crazy. He said, "What? This poem has someone who's a fireball destroying somebody else. Why are you sending me this poem?"
So you've chosen a few poems from the archive. What do you want to read first?
I'll read the poem Yours and Mine by Alice Fulton.
And tell us, before we hear it, tell us a little bit about the poem.
This poem was written in the 1980s or was published in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I like about this poem is that it captures the distance that sometimes exists between lovers.
It's also a poem about taking photographs, two people taking photographs in very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and give it a read.
Yours and Mine by Alice Fulton. Through your lens, the sequoia swallowed me like a dryad. The camera flashed and forgot. I, on the other hand, must practice my absent-mindedness, memory being awkward as a touch that goes unloved. Lately, your eyes have shut down to a shade more durable than skins. I know you love distance, how it smooths. You choose an aerial view, the city angled to abstraction, while I go for the close exposures, poorly mounted countenances along Broadway, the pigweed cracking each hard scrabble back lot. It's a matter of perspective. Yours is to love me from a block away, and mine is to praise the graininess that weaves expressively your face.
So that was Yours and Mine by Alice Fulton. It's very moving at the end how the different ways of loving are very apparent. It's not very flattering to the man, though. I have to say that he loves her from a distance and she loves him from close up.
Yes, but I think there's something at the end. She's coming to a resignation of their different ways of loving. Of course, I'm assuming here, we're making an assumption that it's a man that she's talking about. We don't know.
That's always a problem. It's a female poet, so we think it's a female speaker, and she's speaking to somebody, and we assume it's a man. But yeah, a lover, I think it's safe to say. There's this very haunting line, "Lately your eyes have shut down to a shade more durable than skins." I think there's nothing worse to a lover than not being seen by one's beloved.
Nothing worse. Don't people fall in love through their eyes? Isn't that the
Yeah, the so there's some danger hinted at in this poem. And she says, "You choose an aerial view, the city angled to abstraction." That doesn't sound so promising.
No, well, there's a way in which the way he takes pictures is as an artist in some ways. You know, he's interested in the landscape. He's interested in this aerial view of the cities and abstraction. And she's also interested in abstraction, and her photographs are also abstract, but they start with the human face. Things become abstract because she's brought them so close.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to another poem. This one you've chosen is by E.E. Cummings. It's called "Love is More Thicker Than Forget." Why'd you choose this one?
I chose this one because this summer I was going to a wedding. Of course, a lot of people are looking for poems for weddings,
yeah,
too, love poems. And I was sending, I felt like thousands of poems, but it was hundreds of poems to one of my best friends. And this is the poem that she ended up choosing. And I don't think anybody really understood it, but the mystery of it is really, I think it captures the paradox of love very well.
Yeah, I just listened to it. We have a recording of E.E. Cummings reading it, and I listened to it. I was mystified by it a bit myself, although charmed by it at the same time. Let's listen to it. Here's E.E. Cummings reading, "Love is More Thicker Than Forget."
Love is more thicker than forget, more thinner than recall, more seldom than a wave is wet, more frequent than to fail. It is most mad and moonly, and less it shall unbe than all the sea, which only is deeper than the sea. Love is less always than to win, less never than alive, less bigger than the least begin, less littler than forgive. It is most sane and sunly, and more it cannot die than all the sky, which only is higher than the sky."
That was E.E. Cummings reading "Love is More Thicker Than Forget." It's so funny to hear E.E. Cummings reading because he sounds so waspy.
He sure does.
Doesn't he? And kind of severe. So there's a jumble of stuff he throws into one poem, which I guess is not unlike the jumble of things that go into loving somebody, right?
It is more and less a jumble of things. I like the oppositions.
It is most mad and moonly.
He says most mad, which is interesting, but it's written in the text as it is more mad and moonly. And then later,
it is most sane and sunly.
So you have all of these oppositions.
Mm.
What I love about that is the way that you love and hate someone at the same time.
It's never pure, is it?
No.
we're both old enough to know that it's never totally pure. And he does capture all the contradictions or some of the contradictions in such a powerful feeling. How did this poem go over at the wedding?
People loved it. They really did. People kept coming up to me and saying, "I have no idea what that poem means, but I love it." And I think the sound of the words is very beautiful. There's a lot of alliteration in here. There's the near rhyme. People really like that. I think they also have that sense of, I don't know, love can be so capacious in some ways, and you've got words that are really extreme words here.
"And more it cannot die than all the sky, which only is higher than the sky."
It's huge. It's infinite, really. I think people really responded well to that sense of melodrama, really.
Okay, you have one more poem. This one you're going to read. This is a poem I was totally unfamiliar with. It's called "Poem to an Unnameable Man" by Dorothea Lasky. What can you tell us about this poem to help us prepare for it?
Well, you just have to surrender to it. You'll see. The poem is about surrender in some ways and about the power of love.
Okay, go ahead and give it a read. Here's Poem to an Unnameable Man by Dorothea Lasky.
You have changed me already. I'm a fireball that is hurtling towards the sky to where you are. You can choose not to look up, but I am a giant orange ball that is throwing sparks upon your face. Oh, look at them shake upon you like a great planet that has been murdered by change. Oh, too, this is so dramatic, this shaking of my great planet that is bigger than you thought it would be. So you ran and hid under a large tree. She was graceful, I think, that tree, although soon she will wither into 10 black snakes upon your throat, and when she does, I will be wandering as I always am, a graceful lady that is part museum of the voices of the universe everyone else forgets. I will hold your voice in a little box, and when you come upon me, I won't look back at you. You will feel a hand upon your heart while I place your voice back into the heart from where it came from. And I will not cry also, although you will expect me to. I was wiser too than you had expected, for I knew all along you were mine.
Whoa. That is a poem to an unnameable man by Dorothea Lasky. That is a poem of romantic exaggeration.
Well, I love this incendiary ball, the giant orange ball. She's a huge planet.
Yeah. I am in love with you and you better look out. That's what it's saying, right?
Exactly. I think it's so epic, you know, this image of this Medusa figure, this overpowering female passion.
Yes. Get out of my way.
Right. It silences the beloved, but then it gives it its voice back.
Yes. Well, it destroys him and then reassembles him and puts his voice back in its place. That's really something.
It's funny you say, wow, this is a poem that I found by accident in our mobile app.
Uh-huh.
And I sent it to my boyfriend by email and he wrote back. And all he said was, wow.
Is that right? I don't know what. Yeah, I wouldn't know what to make of getting a poem like that. I guess it would be a love poem, but I would think, my God, I'm owned.
Well, yes, but don't we all sort of want to be possessed?
I guess so. Wow. So did he see the subtleties of it eventually? How did you explain this poem to him?
He said, made some joke about the tree that he was hiding under.
Why is the tree female?
I have no idea. But that tree makes me think of Avatar, the film, and the big tree of life, the life force that everybody goes to.
But this is also a poem that celebrates sort of an aggressive, all-consuming love and offers no apologies for itself whatsoever.
Yeah. I wonder what this poem would be like if it were written by a man. I think it would not be the same sort of poem. There's something defiant at the end, this sense of, I will put your voice back, but I will not cry, although you'll expect me to. You expect a kind of weakness. You expect this from me, but I'm going to be strong. So I love that defiance there.
Mm-hmm.
And also that sense of expectation, or not expectation, but she is saying, or the speaker is saying, I knew you belonged to me. And that sense of confidence, approaching someone with that kind of confidence, it's you know, when you look in someone's eyes and you can tell they love you and you have that sense of confidence that they return your feelings, there's something, nothing more wonderful than that.
Okay, thanks, Kathy.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Valentine's Day is just around the corner. It's February 14th, so you better get to poetryfoundation.org, where you can find dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of love poems. Just type love poems into the search bar, or you can go to poetryfoundation.org/love poems. Let us know what you think of this program, where our motto is
less never than alive.
Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.